Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if this is your first time watching or listening to the show, know that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject, because sharing my show and others like it that focus on improved health, happiness, education, and success is one powerful way we can make a positive influence in the world together. Now, fortunately, our guest today also has a podcast, and she is also making a positive difference in the world with her own podcast, as well as many other ways. Now, you may also know that I believe in the value of MDs, which is medical doctors, and NDs, naturopathic doctors. So my favorite doctors are those knowledgeable in both. Our guest today, Dr. Sharon Martin, holds a doctorate in physiology and worked as a research scientist at Emory University School of Medicine. Subsequently, she trained and graduated from Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and finished a medical residency in internal medicine. And during the last year of her residency, Dr. Martin served as chief resident. She continues to hold membership in the American College of Physicians and the National Organization for Internal Medicine Physicians. Now, Dr. Martin is also a certified graduate of the Healing Light Body curriculum of the Four Winds Society, a premier training organization and program in shamanic energy medicine. She is currently the medical director of a rural health clinic in Pennsylvania. She also is the host of two radio shows, Maximum Medicine and Sacred Magic, aired on the syndicated network Transformation Talk Radio. Here to talk about her new book and much more, the book is called Maximize Your Healing Power. Dr. Martin, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for having me.
Well, again, it is my pleasure. And as I said in the beginning, I am so happy to speak with doctors that are looking at more than just what a particular medical school tells them. So my first question is that after you became the renowned internal medicine doctor, what led you to look into and later train in energy healing?
Well, like you were telling me earlier that you have a healthcare provider who's both a traditionally trained doctor and a naturopathic. Mm-hmm. I think we ought to have everything available to us. Why would we limit? Why would we just take one slice of the pie when we can have it all? I got convinced. Sorry, go ahead, Alan.
Oh, no. What I was going to say is that, I couldn't agree more. But, I mean, you went to some of the top schools, and it seems as though some of the training in these schools is telling people, this is your answer, this is what to do, move on. In other words, there had to be something different going on for you to go, you know what, maybe there's a little more that I'm going to take on that they're not telling me.
It happened time and time again with different patients. The lab tests would say, oh my God, this is happening. The x-ray would say, oh, look, there's a mass. It's got to be cancer. I sent a young woman abnormal lymph nodes to a cancer doctor. Oh, you've got lymphoma, but don't worry. It's very slow growing. And, it shouldn't cause you any problem for 15 or 20 years. Well, when you're 40, that's not a long time.
Exactly.
And she said, well, wait a second. How do I know that that's what that is? She went to a bigger center where they actually did a biopsy before they declared what she had. And she had an autoimmune disease called sarcoid, not lymphoma. So here was somebody willing to condemn her, to give her a label that was, first of all, wasn't even factual. I've seen people be given things that by all lab tests is factual, and they beat the odds. Mm-hmm. Or they have totally normal tests and something bad happens. So medicine, even though we're taught that, you know, things are black and white, there's no black and white. There's huge amounts of gray. And the part that I find missing in mainstream medicine that I am now spending a lot of time learning about is the role of our thoughts and our beliefs over the outcome of our lives. And that play, how consciousness plays in, that's a whole nother topic, maybe a whole nother radio show, Alan.
Exactly.
But there are, if you can really see yourself, visualize yourself in the healed capacity, your body will follow. The mystics, all the ancient spiritual teachers have told us that. And mainstream medicine ignores that kind of stuff. It ignores the holistic view. It ignores the power each patient has over their own health and destiny. It's not even very good at nutrition. And it's certainly not good at spirituality. And all of those things matter to me.
And again, I could not agree more. And I want to come back to, you mentioned autoimmune. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me, and again, I love the part about as far as the mental side of it. And I do want to come back to that because I so believe in that. But it seems to me that our immune system, that most anything that we are doing other than, I mean, if we've broken something, I mean, that's a different story. But shouldn't it be geared towards strengthening our immune system so that our body does what it's supposed to do?
Yes, with one caveat. That's not the only avenue. And we can overstimulate our immune system, which can be equally disruptive to us. I'll tell you a story.
Please.
First of all, maybe this is a multifaceted story. The amount of autoimmune that I've seen in the past 10 years has skyrocketed. Our food sources are not very healthy. Our air and water are not very healthy. And the amount of toxic information we allow into, I now, having trained in shamanism, see people's energy fields. We let in a lot of poison. And even though I've been totally hooked on Twitter, especially with the January 6th, because it matters to me that we in the United States stay as a democracy, I recognize that watching that stuff all the time is not healthy for me. Mm-hmm. It's too much coming at you. I have a girlfriend, a very good friend, very deep spiritual, and she started to follow a alternative healer's recommendation for a liver cleanse, started to eat a lot of broccoli, found out that she was starting to not feel well, her hair was thinning, and something led her, I don't know if it was her intuition, to get a heavy metal test, and her heavy metal levels were sky high. She then checked the organic broccoli and sent that off for testing, and it was sky high in heavy metals. So I just remember what my mother and grandmother used to say, everything in moderation. Yep. And we can do good foods. We can do quiet time. We can stay away from the news. But I've come to see the frontier of healing, and I hope mainstream medicine figures it out, is to involve your consciousness, whether you believe in God or not. I believe in spirituality. I believe in God, something bigger than humans. But to involve that, because I think that's our best choice going forward.
We've got a question that is coming in, and again, I want to thank those that that do take the time to do this, to send in questions. This one reads, you know, I just had it a moment ago. How does your book, Maximize Your Healing Power, provide practical guidance for individuals seeking to take an active role in their own healing process? It says, can you give some examples of specific strategies that are outlined in the book? This is from Marcus in New Orleans, Louisiana.
What I love about my book, obviously I'm biased because I wrote it, but it is a way, it gives you steps to take. The whole point of it is, here is what I know. I'm putting this in your hands to make changes in your life. And I'll give an example. First of all, there are many exercises, and the majority of them focus on you going into your deeper self, into your subconscious, where you contact your higher self or your soul or God, whatever you call it. And then you can visualize and shift your energy to holding the most powerful life force. So that's just the basic premise of the whole book. There are steps in there that I've intuited because I saw a healing journey, and it can be a life challenge journey, doesn't have to be about health, in a spiral fashion. And I saw it in four steps. And the first is to be aware of your issue. Well, we're all very much aware, usually, of we don't feel good, something's not working, we're limping, our back hurts, whatever. The next step is to allow. And this is a whole chapter on allow. Allow is where you line up with the higher intelligences and forces of the universe, whether you call it God, angels, power animals, I'll tell you, teach you all about them. Then you act. You take an action, and those actions can include clearing your energy field, taking an issue to the transformative power of the fire, taking on your intuition says you need to exercise more. It says you need to stop eating this or that. It really gets you deep into your intuition, which is important because that's your messages from your higher self to your conscious human self. And then you affirm it by daily action. And that's one example of how you approach a problem. And the whole book is geared towards, here's what I saw as the problem. Here's what I see as a potential fix. If you have an issue, here are steps you can take. So I think the book is good that way. The other little goodie, excuse me just a second, Alan. Ahead. If you order this book, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Inner Traditions, you take the order number and you go to my website, drsharonmartin.com, drsharonmartin.com, and you put the order number in on the page that's about the book, you get a lot of freebies downloaded. So that's exciting too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We were talking about the mental side, but we're also, you know, we're talking about, you know, in things that are happening. And I know one of your specialties is internal medicine. Let's talk a little bit about the manifestation of internal problems that we are doing through our mind. And I think this is something that a lot of people don't understand, but where, you know, it's, you know, you get somebody that says, oh, you know, my gut's all messed up. You know, I'm having all kinds of intestinal problems, whatever they may be, and so on. What are some of the ways in which we're taking some of our mental issues or problems and manifesting these things in places in our body like that? And what can we do to reverse it?
So that's a common connection that many spiritual teachers have seen. Back in the, I believe it was in the 80s, a NIH scientist wrote a book, The Molecules of Emotion. Bruce Lipton wrote The Biology of Belief. Carolyn Mace, a medical intuitive, talks about your energy centers, the chakras, and how they reflect certain diseases. So I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
I have had a woman patient who came to me all distressed. And I also happened to know that her father had just died, and he had died of a blood clot, and she was at the hospital with him. And during his workup, he almost certainly had a blood test called a D-dimer, which if it's elevated suggests there could be a blood clot. It means a lot of things, but it suggests that. So mm-hmm. She comes in a month after he's died. She's all upset because she wants me to order a D-dimer. And I try to probe as to why are you fixated on the D-dimer? And, you know, D-dimer can be up from infection, from inflammation, from things, you know. I'm thinking, I don't want you to order this. You're going down the rabbit hole of a worry about something. Gets the test, it's abnormal, only slightly, but to her, it's not normal. Even though to me, if it's normal, supposed to be less than 100, this is 102. You know, usually a person who comes with a blood clot, their number's 500. Those are just relative numbers. And then we embark on a whole year of her going to specialists. So here is where, and I believe this started with her fear about her father dying suddenly.
Right.
And she started fixating. And sure enough, something was abnormal. And sure enough, she then became ill in the sense that now she's doing her whole year doctor going. Those kinds of things, they happen all the time. A person will feel burdened by life, like they're carrying too much and their back hurts. A person who can't stomach the things that are going on in their life that are distressing, they'll come with gut problems. More often than not, a young woman who's been sexually abused and sexual trauma has lower reproductive issues. Happens all the time. But what can we do differently? And I think this is where the frontier of medicine needs to go. In the field of consciousness, and we don't know exactly the physics of it, but there is a universal information field. Mm-hmm. And the mystics and now the physicists are telling us that that is pure potential. But in our thinking, we bring reality to our lives. That we download what we see as our picture and we make it our reality. But if you can step back and change what you're thinking, you literally are changing your reality. And that quantum physics is starting to prove that. There's the very act of observing a particle made it become one of its two possible forms. It was either a wave or solid, but you looked at it and it made it one. So there is something there. I can't explain it completely because we don't really know, but I believe that how you think really will change your life.
Wow. So what would you say if you had somebody that came to you and said, I'm having gut problems, and I'm going to see a variety of doctors, and we just don't seem to, you know, to be able to make it go away. At what point? Because again, if they're going to see an internal medicine doctor, and they're going to see a
gastro doctor, and then they're going to see a somebody else doctor, and
right. And at what point do you say, okay, let's talk about what you're going through, and how do you get them to be able to? Well, actually, it's a good point. Are you, as a energy healer, are you helping clear them, or are you helping them clear themselves?
Them clear themselves, even though our egos might think we're the ones doing it, but we're not. I had a patient, nothing went well. And the way she described herself, all the time was, oh, I can't eat this and I can't eat that. And oh, that's really bad for me. And that's really, everything was bad for her. She couldn't eat this. She couldn't eat that. So when I tried to help her change her diet to help her shift her gut physiology, she was insistent that she had problems in the gut area, that she had errors that were her identity. So she couldn't even see past being ill with this. I think that's where we have to be brave enough to break out of the cage of how we see ourselves and how we believe ourselves to be.
Now, from a medical testing standpoint, what are some of the tests that you think are helping, or what's coming up on the horizon? And I'll start by telling a story of Naveen Jain, who is the billionaire philanthropist that ended up buying Biome. And his story was that the reason that he bought it was that he felt that he was slowing down. He was getting older, and so he was slowing down, and he was starting to put on a little weight. He was getting a little paunch around the middle. And so he kept cleaning up his diet more and more and more. And he got to the point to where almost the only thing that he was eating was spinach, because that was the healthiest thing that he knew of to do that. And then by getting tested through Viome, what they pointed out to him is that based on the isolates and the other things going on with spinach, and I believe he's a vegetarian as well, that the worst thing for him is spinach. And so he was making himself sicker and sicker and sicker, and he couldn't understand why, but he was so impressed with the information they provided that he bought the company, and his goal has been to bring the cost down to where everybody could do it, because at the time he did it, it was very expensive. What's your thoughts on that, or what are some of the tests on the medical side that can help you in working with someone tell them that either this is the problem or maybe they need to look elsewhere?
Well, I think that for this guy who was eating only spinach, again, moderation, you can't just go down. That doesn't make sense to just pick one thing. I know also that for the majority of people, eating organically and eating fruits and vegetables costs money. That's difficult. Yep. And that's why so many people end up eating what we would think is kind of junky food, is that it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. I think coming down the horizon, there's a lot of genetic medicine seems to me to be going down this very, they're putting the microscope on and they're going deeper and deeper and deeper to find the one gene that you are this gene. And therefore, if we target our medicines to this, we're going to fix you better. Then you have on the other side, and mostly this is in the spiritual and naturopathic field, you have the concept of epigenetics, that it's not the actual gene, but it's the whole cellular environment that will decide which genes are listened to, which products created by the genes become turned into proteins and cellular mechanistic. So again, that epigenetics is malleable. It's changeable by the environment. And if you go back to the original literature, the biology of emotions, the biology of belief, that is changeable. Joe Dispenza does research with his workshops where they actually have shown immune cells to change based on the meditations that they use. So for me, it's like I'm glad medicine is going to find some new specific things, but it still doesn't fix what I think is missing, and that is we have the power to change things. And we have it based on our thinking, our thoughts, and our deep connection to the universe, which is found through any form of spirituality, any form of connection, whether you believe in meditation or prayer or ritual. Those forces of the universe are there to be allied with.
All right. We're speaking with Dr. Sharon Martin. We're talking about her book, Maximize Your Healing Power. Now, we're going to take a break. If you know somebody that can benefit from this, shoot them a quick message and tell them that they can tune in right now. And we'll be right back in about a minute and a half.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practice lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
And we're back. We're talking with Dr. Sharon Martin, and we are talking about maximizing your healing power. Now, before we went to break, one of the things that I was thinking about was, let's talk about distance healing. So I mentioned in your introduction that you have a clinic in Pennsylvania. What's your thoughts on distance healing? In other words, do you have people that come to you, or in this day and age, is this something that someone, if they're listening, can contact you, and it's something that can be done over, as we are on StreamYard, or over the phone for that matter? Let's talk about distance healing a little bit and what your feelings are about it.
So we also call it remote healing. It works. Okay. I think for me, the best outline and detail of the studies that show the connections regardless of distance was Lynn McTaggart's book, The Field, because she detailed all of the experiments done. And, they have somebody in a submarine beneath the water, and the mother took the rabbit's babies down in the submarine. They had the mother there. Something happened to her, the babies, and she felt it. So we're talking, the reason that I think remote healing works, and we're going to know more about this as science catches up with mysticism, is that we are dealing with the universal information field. All of us are connected by consciousness, so that we can, even in prayer, faith healing works. Larry Dossey has studied that. So when you do something that's called energy medicine, Stefan Schwartz pointed out to me, it's not really energy, but that remote healing is happening because you're tapping in to the universal consciousness field, which elicits a change by the same person connected, regardless of distance, regardless of time. It's the same phenomenon that psychics, who are also called remote viewers, how do they see in time or space? How is that possible? I can't explain to you the actual details of the physics of it. I don't know that anybody can, but it does work.
So to kind of mirror that back or to put it out there to so that everybody can understand. So if we were going to talk about, and I'm, you know, since my heart attack, I'm having trouble with my throat. So I don't talk exactly the same. People say I sound differently now. So my view of this is that through a universal energy or universal force, you're able to help me find this, to see this, but at the same time, you're just steering kind of my body to be able to deal with it myself. I mean, is that, am I mirroring that back pretty good, or how would you correct that?
I might say it a little bit differently.
Okay, please do.
When any healer goes to, quote, work on you, nothing will happen without your subconscious, usually, permission. Your energy field is sovereign. So there are many times where, and I talk about this with some other intuitive healers, medical intuitives, you need a permission to heal. You need a threshold to heal. A lot of times that's assumed when somebody comes and they're your client. It's assumed that they want to heal. But there are times where there are a lot of subconscious reasons why people really don't want to change something. Hmm. And, you know, not everybody is self-aware. Not everybody can really dive in and say, you know, I keep saying I want this to shift and it's never shifted. How many people are brave enough to look at what are the goodies you're getting from keeping it? Not everybody's brave enough to do that. That's hard to do. But nothing happens to you without your subconscious permission.
Now, is subconscious permission is part of that belief?
Yes. Let's take something a little bit different. Let's talk about people who are in toxic relationships.
Okay.
From an energy standpoint, from a shamanistic standpoint, each person has an energy field. And in these particular relationships, those energy fields are merging at some point. Perhaps one person taking energy from the other person, taking life force from the other person. And to say that, you know, to say to the person, well, you have to separate from this person because they're stealing your power. At some level, one person of that partnership agreed to allow the other to share their life force on an energetic level. So we're doing that all the time. As humans, we resonate with others. That's what humans do. We do not live alone and stay alone. We are always interacting. So there are levels at which we let things influence us. And there's always some maybe very, very subtle manipulations going on that we are agreeing to without realizing the harm it could do. That's happening all the time in many ways. But I think if you really want to shift something, you have to say that you, with 100%, mind, body, and soul, says, I want this to change or it won't change.
So then how can a lay person understand and work with this energy field? And I'm thinking of two different aspects of it. One is that you mentioned somebody who's with someone who's toxic. So one is to shut off the connection or shut off that person's ability, the connection, to shut off that connection. And at the same time, how can the lay person turn on a connection either to a healer or to an environment that they know is much more beneficial to them personally?
So one of the sections in my book is describing the energy field and how a lay person can work with it, how they can sense it, and then how they can clear it. And as soon as you start spending the quiet time to sense the energy field, then you begin to sense when things are impacting you. And then you can make conscious choices as to your boundaries. And there are boundaries, not only psychological boundaries or relationship dynamic boundaries, but they're energetic boundaries. And you can clear your field. You can set up a strong perimeter. And so those things, those basics I teach in my book.
All right. We had another question that I just saw. Let me see if I can get that up. So this one reads, I believe healing is a deeply personal experience, and individuals often face obstacles or setbacks along the way. My parents both dealt with chronic illnesses before passing away, and their medical doctors seemed stumped when they had setbacks. In my father's case, and dealing with cancer, when chemotherapy appeared to fail, their answer was up the chemo. How does the book address the challenges that people encounter during their healing journey? And does it offer strategies to overcome these hurdles? This is from Melissa in New York.
That's a big question with a lot of layers.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay. At some level, and this is big picture, Melissa, and not to be dismissive of what your parents went through. At some level, my spiritual belief is you and your soul choose when to exit the earth. So at some level, there is a soul choice. I believe in a soul. Others don't, but I do. There's a soul choice of what path to take. Sometimes, as horrible as that path looks, there are benefits in that path to those around the ill person, including giving the family members, and this may not apply to you and your family, but giving the family members a chance to show compassion and care and caretake and love and come closer. So even if it looks like things are going down, physically speaking, the wrong way, spiritually, they may not be going the wrong way. Does my book specifically address how to fight certain challenges like that? Not specifically, but it does show you how to hold a clear intention, how to use your intuition, and how to ally with your universal helpers, spirit guides, power animals, angels, Jesus, other, you know, higher beings, higher intelligences. And through that way, I think you can obviate a lot of challenges. So I'm sorry if I left out parts that you would have liked to have seen, but I think the basics are there that you can steer your way.
Now, you just mentioned some of, you described some of the helpers being it natural spirits, dragons, power animals. Explain how connecting to these are beneficial. There are, in my thinking, as you were saying that, I mean, there are people that, you know, they have something that they believe in, but maybe they just aren't realizing how they can turn that into a benefit rather than just sitting back and expecting this to solve everything for them. Share a little bit about how
manna from heaven to land on you.
What's that?
Expecting the manna from heaven to land on you.
Yes.
So what are the benefits of these helper energies? First of all, I think we could all say that there are forces, currents of energy, different vibrational energies, and intelligences in the unseen world. Trees have an intelligence. Nature has an intelligence. The weather has an intelligence. Many, many cultures believe in little people, fairies, leprechauns, unseen energies. We happen in the West anyway to have given those energies names. When you take time to explore a connection, let's take a power animal, for example, and do I have time to tell a quick story, Alan?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've got about 9 minutes.
Okay. When you start to research a particular power animal, in my shamanic training, we were taught to link up with four different animals, jaguar, eagle, hummingbird, and serpent. And we spend time aligning with those. Those animals hold different energies. So for me, we don't have eagles in Pennsylvania. Well, we do now have a few, but we have hawks. And I was very connected to hawk. We spent time thinking about what does hawk represent? Mm-hmm. Flight, the ability to see from far away, the ability to lift up and see the bigger perspective, the power of that, the intelligence of that. And I spent a lot of time connecting. Now, when you connect with energies, you are actually trying them on in your energy field. The same way when you think about different colors, you are taking those energies in, borrowing their characteristics to help you move forward in life, perhaps exhibiting some of those characteristics. And to show you how powerful that connection can be, I'm driving home from one of the workshops in my shamanic training. It was about a 3-year process. And I'm driving home from one of the workshops and I'm on a back road and all of a sudden, bam, something hits my windshield and I see feathers and I see blood. And I go, oh no, it's a hawk. Well, I'm devastated because I can't believe that I have killed a hawk. I pull off, I back up, I go to look for it. I'm just beside myself. I'm so upset. I look on the side of the road back for hundreds of feet, as far back as I know I had driven. Look anywhere that it might have. I cannot find the hawk anywhere. So part of me is so relieved that maybe it didn't die, but there are feathers and a little bit of blood on the windshield. Well, I'm just devastated because this is at this particular point in my training, this is my power animal. This is my buddy. Hawk energy is important to me. Well, I get back in the car and I'm kind of in tears and I'm driving ahead and up ahead is an accident that literally happened 10 minutes prior and somebody died.
Wow.
And I think to myself, now when you start to connect with these energies, you start to listen to messages that you think you might be told or ways of seeing a different way. And I think to myself, that hawk stopped my car long enough that I was not in that accident. Literally, the accident had just happened when I had stopped, pulled over, and was looking for the dead hawk, which thank goodness I never found. So there are benefits when you join with the energies of the universe. You choose which ones to connect with, though, because there are dark forces out there. So you want to pick good stuff. And then you can take on and embody those characteristics, and you're expanded. Your approach to life is enlivened and expanded. And to me, not only is it fun, but I think it's valuable.
Well, in your book and on your podcast, you teach about rituals. We've just got a couple minutes left. What does a ritual bring to the table of healing, and how does it impact us?
A ritual to me means that you are fully present. It's not just a habit. It's actually making something sacred. So you are fully present and you are connected with your soul, your spirit, however you see spirit. And then you're setting an intention as you go through the action of lighting a candle, burning a paper of what you want to be transformed by fire, using a crystal to clear something. Those moments are sweet spots where you are totally immersed. You are connected with the universal field and every part of you is present. And many rituals, like going into a Catholic church and kneeling or using the holy water to cross yourself, many rituals have been done for thousands of years. So as you enter that energetic configuration, you are entering the power that has been set for millennia by doing that ritual. So rituals to me are very important because it's where you can take an action in sacred space.
I would love to be able to continue. And you mentioned earlier when we started to go into the subject of more of the mental side of it, it could be a whole nother show. I'd love to do that. Before we run out of time, are there any upcoming events where viewers or listeners can learn more about you, learn more about the book, Maximizing Your Healing Power?
My website, drsharonmartin.com, drsharonmartin.com has things, but I want to have listeners pay attention when I do my radio shows, my Maximum Medicine radio shows. I'm bringing guests in now that are all about consciousness because I believe this is the frontier for mainstream medicine, and some really brilliant people, and to talk about the power of meditation to put you into the universal field, just to talk about those kinds of things that I think will move us all forward. And Alan, as you said, just as your show purpose is, the whole purpose is for our world to be better. And that means we humans have to really step up. So I'm all about helping us step up.
And which is exactly why when David mentioned what you were doing about getting you on the show, I said, this is a perfect fit. So I love the synergy. I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing. I appreciate you coming on. Would love to have you come back because I think we could go very deep into the mental side of this.
That could be fun. Thank you.
And again, for everybody out there, again, it's a syndicated network called Transformation Talk Radio, but her shows are Maximum Medicine and Sacred Magic. Now, are there links on your website for both of those?
Yes.
Okay. So and there you have it.
You can find it on transformationtalkradio.com.
There you go. So everybody, you've got a lot of opportunity to be able to gather more information. But again, I appreciate so much what you're doing. Please keep it up. I look forward to talking to you again. And if there's anything I can do, please let me know.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
All right. And for everybody out there, be with us in coming weeks or just go to our archives of past shows. You can do that at answers.network. And you can subscribe to the show through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Rumble, Spreaker, and so many other popular podcast platforms. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. I want you to know that we greatly appreciate it. And the next time that you're on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, please remember, stop by our page, check out some of our latest shows. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.